بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، ما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، ولا تقربوا الزنا انه كان فاحشة وساء سبیلا، صدق اللہ العظیم. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, we had commenced a majlis on safeguarding of the eyes in the private parts, and this was a discourse by Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, very great Buzurg, very great Alim. He is a principal in the Dabil Madrasa. He is an Ustad of many of our Asatiza. And we had explained a few important points on zina, and to abstain from the causes and the means that lead a person to zina. Why Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, don't come close to zina. We had even mentioned about women who wear jewelry and who come out of their homes. What Sharia says, when a woman who leaves a home and she applies perfume and she passes by men, so the hadith has said she is such and such, implying that she is an adulterer. We had also given examples of how in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they went to the different kings, and when one of the kings had asked the Sahabi, what does your messenger preach? So among the fundamental things, fundamental teachings of Shariat was to lower one's gaze, or to live a chaste life, not to live a life of zina. We had performance of salah, to maintain honesty in all matters, and to preserve our chastity and safeguard ourselves from all acts of shamelessness, and to establish family ties. Then we had mentioned the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very important, where Rasulullah said, "Ifu ta'ifu nisa'ukum." Ifu ta'ifa nisa'ukum. If you are chaste, then your woman will be chaste. But if you are going to cast lustful glances at other women, the same thing can happen to your own woman. And there were a few thought-provoking incidents. One of the incident of an alim, Allah Ta'ala save us, who was involved in this type of misdeed and misconduct, and eventually what was his end result. And there were so many other examples we had given of people who usurped their position when people came to them, women who came to them. They were desperate, they required some financial assistance. So they agreed only if those women would fulfill their desires. And how those women, out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they trembled. And this had an effect on those people who realized that what they were doing wrong was wrong, and they also refrained from those sins. May Allah ta'ala protect us. This is such a bimari, as Mufti Sahib mentions, it is the TB of our time. So a person who has TB, he has to take medication, and he has to safeguard himself from so many things. Like that, this badnazri, casting lustful glances, we may not realize how harmful it is to our iman, inshallah, as we read along today, tonight. We will see how important it is for us to lower our gaze. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, his entire life, most of his poetry, and most of his wa'az and nasihat, his malfuzat, was the same thing, to lower our gazes and to protect ourselves from casting lustful glances. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, it is mentioned about the iffat, the chastity, how pure their lives were. That in the time of the Sahaba, despite the fact that they had taken numerous expeditions far and wide, and obviously as they were going to different countries and different areas, and they were conquering those countries, they were also subjected to this trial of being presented with the enticement of women. And those women were deliberately sent forward with the hair all open, very beautiful women who would try and entice the Sahaba as they would enter these cities and these towns to detract them from their mission. But the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they were victorious. How? Because they had lowered the gaze. They adhere to the Shariat strictly. This is our problem, our weakness. We don't have strict adherence to the Shariat. And now and then we will follow certain injunctions, certain laws. coming from Ramadan, we will obey. And where it suits us, Allah forgive us, Allah protect us, we are all weak. Strict adherence to Shariat. Sahaba didn't pick and choose. When they followed Shariat, they followed it strictly. And therefore Allah Ta'ala gave them such victory. So Mufti Sahib writes, he says that I was mentioning that where Islam had imposed restrictions and prohibitions regarding zina and all acts of lewdness and iniquity, it has accordingly prohibited all those roads and avenues leading to the same. It is precisely under this discussion that Islam has rendered the glancing at strange women, and of course women to glance at men who are not their mahram, and also at minor boys is haram. Amrads. Those boys who almost, or have just become baligh, almost become baligh, and they have a mustache that is growing but no beard, and they have very attractive faces. Even from such boys also, we have to have great caution, exercise great caution. Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Ali, or one of the Buzurgs, used to say, behind every woman there is one shaitan trying to lure us. But behind such boys who are baligh and they are very handsome looking and they haven't got a beard still, sometimes they even have a beard, but they are very attractive that the eye wants to look again and again. Behind such boys, Amrad we call them in Arabic, they have 10 shayateen trying to pull us towards them. And we see today what's happening. Those who are engaged in this type of work, and you see the type of cases that will come, people are involved in the same thing. Allah protect us. A widespread evil and major vice in our society. He says, there are few women within our family circle who, despite being non-mahram unto us, are commonly mistaken as mahram. Such as one's father's wives, or one's mother's brother's wives. Then of course, we have to have respect for our family members. But these women are not our maharim. That means sometime in life, it is possible that you can't even get married to them. Therefore, Sharia tells us to exercise even caution with them also. Sometimes a person is gone on a journey. He leaves behind his wife and children. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, abstain from visiting and calling upon such women whose husbands are away from their homes. If you've got no business to go there, if you want to worry about whether they're okay, if they require anything, then ask your wife to do so. Why must you do it? The hadith says, La tariju ala al-mughayyabat. If a person should abstain from visiting and calling upon such women whose husbands are not there. In fact, in one riwayat is mentioned, the meaning of which is that person who is gone for some expedition, he's gone on a journey, he's gone out in the path of Allah, he's gone for Hajj, he's gone for Umrah, whatever work he's gone for. And he leaves you behind to take care of his belongings, his wife, his children. And then if you go and interfere with his wife, then you have made a very great khiyanat. You have been disloyal to this person. You have cheated. So often we find a person is gone on some good work, he's gone on some business, and then his wife is alone at home, and somebody will start SMS, phoning. Eventually what happens? She becomes overwhelmed, and then they commit zina. When an individual would frequent her in the privacy of a home, nafs and shaitan would motivate a person towards wrongdoing. And all the means in doing so would be available without any restrictions. Husband is not there. It's freedom. This person knows that man is not around. He's gone abroad. He only come after a month. It is for this reason that someone asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, ara'ayta al-ham? O Messenger of Allah, what would you say regarding the brother-in-law, your husband's brother? Most of us, or all of us, if we ponder over this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We live in home sometimes, and the husband, brother, maybe he's not married, still living there, or even if he's married. So this question was asked to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ara'ayta al-hamwa? most of them have explained al-hammu to mean the brothers, the husband's brother. The husband's brother. So Rasulullah said, al-hammu al-maut. Your husband's brother is maut for you. He's dead for you. So the lesson that is drawn in this hadith is in terms of death. That is, just as a person fears and runs away from maut, he runs away from death, similarly should be the apprehension with regard to one's brother-in-law with reference to one's wives. If care would not be exercised in this regard, and may Allah Ta'ala forbid, if this unbecoming treachery occurs in one's own home, it may result in a lifelong inhibition, and one will not be even aware of it. As Akbar Ilahabadi Rahmatullah Ali had mentioned, the neglect of parda resulted in the one whom you considered to be a son, he turned out to be your nephew. You thought he was your son. He was your beta. Kya nikla? Batija nikla. So the neglect of parda resulted in the one whom you considered to be your son. Wife was pregnant, she gave birth. You thought this is your son. Later on in life you come to know that this was actually your brother's son. This is the prescription for a chaste and pure life. What is it? Sharia has given the instruction of parda under the caption of lowering the gaze, whereby one is not permitted to look at strange women at all. In this regard, the verse that Allama Nawawi Rahmatullah Ali has recorded, mentioned in the beginning, and which comes in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Say unto the believers that they should lower their gazes. يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. They should lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And they should protect their private parts. That is a means of greater purity and chastity for them. We all want our hearts to become pure and clean. We talk about tazkiyah. Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is a means of greater purity and chastity for them. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses the females. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And tell the believing women that they should also lower their gaze and protect their private parts. So Mufti Sahib explains, he says, look, the general trend in the Quran Sharif, when any law is revealed, then everybody is addressed in a general sense, without specific pieces of revelation dedicated to men alone and then women separately, unless those rules and laws are pertaining to women separately. However, in this instance, Allah Ta'ala has revealed two separate verses altogether addressing men and women independently regarding the same matter. So we can well imagine the degree of importance according to this piece of hukam of Sharia, where Allah Ta'ala tells us to lower our gazes. And somebody might say, if I cast a lustful glance, what happens? What's the consequence of this? As Mufti Sahib writes, the nur, and the spiritual glow of the face is lost due to disregard of the guarding of the eye. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith. لَتَغُضُّنَّ أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَلَتَحْفَظُنَّ فُرُوجَكُمْ أَوْ لَيَكْسِفَنَّ اللَّهُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. May you continue lowering your gaze and guarding your private parts, or else Allah Ta'ala will remove the spiritual glow from your faces. The nur from your faces will vanish. Now the word Rasulullah used in the hadith is لَيَكْسِفَنَّ اللَّهُ, from the word kusuf. Now kusuf refers to solar eclipse. That is, just as the sun loses its glow at the time of an eclipse. Similarly, the person who does not guard his eyes is deprived of the spiritual glow, the nur on his face, no matter how handsome he may be. So he will have to abstain from the abuse of his gaze. He says, today we will very regretfully have to concede that the sin of misusing one's gaze has reached pandemic proportions. The problem is that the culture pervading society has become such that by virtue of this seductive and promiscuous nature, one is rendered helpless. As Mufti Taqi Sahib, Damat Barakatuh Muzia in the country in Johannesburg at the moment, He has mentioned for the eyes to find protection and shelter has indeed become most challenging. It's a very great, difficult task, especially for the men. It's a challenge. However, for the one who wants to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the one who wants to imbibe the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, for the one who is seriously concerned with regard to his spiritual reformation, for the one who wants to establish his bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will have to safeguard and protect his gaze. So whoever wants the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want this nur of Allah ta'ala to come into your heart, you want the ishq, the love of Allah ta'ala to come into your heart, you are serious, you're worried about your spiritual reformation, you want to change your condition, you want to change your life, you want to establish this bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this true bond, then you have to safeguard, we all have to safeguard and protect our gaze. The reformation of the heart may not be accomplished whilst indulging the sin and abuse of the gaze. The ulama of the Sawf have unanimously agreed on the fact that as long as the person remains trapped in the vice of badnazri, casting lustful glances, that is the abuse of the gaze, the reformation of his heart will not be accomplished. Complete reformation of your heart won't take place as long as you are making badnazri, you are casting lustful glances at women. Despite the fact that there certainly exist many other grave sins than badnazri, many other sins worse than badnazri, but the evil effects of it are so severe and intense that as long as a person does not muster the courage to combat the scourge within his life, his heart will never gain contentment and spiritual cleansing. And due to this, he will not be able to establish any formal bond with his maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi has written, he says, in the very important words of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, there are many such people who regularly engage in dhikrullah. There are many such people who regularly engage in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, and due to the dhikr, they develop a great degree of spirituality and illumination of the heart. However, because of them being caught in the transgression of badnazri, they become deprived of all these spiritual accomplishments. Now, how important it is. The person is making so much of dhikrullah, mashallah, to the barakat of dhikr, nur has come into his heart. But when he's going to make badnazri, then all that nur will be lost. And Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah should give the example. You have a trough of water that you have accumulated in this huge tanker, and you've got tiny little outlets. So instead of making sure that you have closed all these outlets, as you're pouring the water from above, from wherever the water supply is coming, and your container is getting filled, and you want to preserve this water, but you open all these outlets. So all the water that you accumulated, everything will disappear. So all the nur that we are accumulating in the heart, we are opening these eyes, so we're looking at haram, ears are listening to haram, feet are moving towards haram, mind is thinking of haram. So all these outlets are now opened, and all the nur then vanishes, disappears. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. He says, why do we not gain the relish and true enjoyment of ibadah? Many times a person performs salah, dhikr, tilawah. He says, I'm not enjoying this ibadah. Today we diligently involve in the performance of salah, recitation of Quran, tasbihat, various other actions of worship. But despite all of this, we are unable to achieve the true enjoyment of these actions. Why is this the case? Hazrat writes, from the various factors contributing to this unfortunate state of affairs, one major element is that of badnazri. So badnazri is to cast lustful glances. It is such a dangerous deterrent from the path of suruk that once it grips a person, to break loose from there is indeed a very great task. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi mentions that badnazri is such a spiritual disease that when a person reaches such an advanced age, even that his one foot is dangling in the qabr, then too, if no effort is made to remedy it, it does not leave the person. So badnazri is such a spiritual disease that when a person reaches such an advanced age, it's in him now. Every chance of looking at some woman, he's gazing at her, although his one leg is already in the qabr. How many an elderly person do you not observe trapped in this vice, showing no form of shame or modesty whatsoever? They do not even consider it to be a sin. Now, this is important. They'll be casting lustful glances whole day, and we don't regard it to be a sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. If you ponder and reflect over the meaning of this verse, Allah Ta'ala knows fully well, Allah Ta'ala knows full well the deception of the eye and that which the heart conceals. Mufti Sahib, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Damat Barakatuh explains, he says the limbs of the body, the hands, the feet, the limbs of the body are an amanat to us. They are trust. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ula'ika kana anhu mas'oola. Allah Ta'ala says, most certainly your ears, your eyes, your hearts, each one of these organs, you will be questioned with regard to them. How did you use these organs? How did you use these limbs? So you'll be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding these limbs. This human being is not the owner of any of these organs, nor does he enjoy any powers over the usage of, or does he does not enjoy any discretionary powers over the usage or application of these body parts. They all constitute the ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been accorded the right of usage over these limbs for a stipulated period of time, and they have been entrusted unto us in the form of a loan, whereby we are given strict directives in terms of its usage and the limits with regard to each one. So these limbs that we have, they are an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't use them as we wish. Allah Ta'ala has got certain regulations. Our eyes, how do we use it? Our body parts, how do we use it? And according to Allah Ta'ala's will, we have to use these parts. So many times we feel, no, it's my body, I can do as I wish. We have forgotten that his ears, his eyes, everything will be questioned regarding the usage of this thing on the day of Qiyamah. Why is Badnazri forbidden? Why is it forbidden? The eye is a very great favor and bounty of Allah Ta'ala, which may be similarized to a camera. It is by means of this eye that various different types of images and pictures are recorded and transmitted into the memory bank of the heart and mind. Once this process is in motion, by virtue of these recordings, various aspirations and desires are created in the heart. So there's the eye as a camera, and it takes a picture of whatever you see. So by means of these pictures that we have taken, they are transmitted into the memory bank of the heart and the mind. Once this process is in motion, by virtue of these recordings, various aspirations and desires are created in the heart. Hence, when our gaze falls upon strange woman, the beauty of this strange woman has captivated us. This will now ignite the fire of lust and desire in our hearts, which directs us towards the carrying out of wrong and haram. These eyes of ours are such cameras that they capture every scene and image passing in its wake, and it results in an impact upon our heart. Sometimes we may not realize, but Allah Ta'ala has given us this very powerful camera. Unwittingly also sometimes, we're just looking at something, but it takes a picture. It is ultimately due to these far-reaching effects brought by a single gaze that we have been guided to look at certain things and prohibit from other. So instead of making bad nazri, looking at other women which are haram, look at your own wife which is halal for you. Or as Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah used to say, that don't worry about somebody else's biryani. Be content with the dal roti you got. Now please, the ladies must think regarding dal roti. Don't worry about somebody else's wife. You have got your own halal, pure wife. And if you haven't got a wife, you've got to make sabr, keep roza, and make dua Allah ta'ala finds you a wife, inshallah. It is related in the hadith that when a husband looks at his wife with love, and his wife looks at him with love, then Allah ta'ala looks at them with his gaze of mercy. Subhanallah. What ibadah this is. No heavy namaz, salah, zikr. You're looking at your own wife with love. And she looks at you with love. Allah Ta'ala looks at the husband and wife with the gaze of mercy. Hazrat Mufti Sahib writes, today matters have unfortunately become totally reversed in a sense that when one's wife approaches, then one is overtaken by aversion. And when a strange woman would approach, one suddenly begins to develop feelings of compassion and love for her. So everything has been reversed today. Why? Our priorities have gone all wrong. We have followed, become slaves of nafs and shaitan. There's no doubt that the greatest test for all men, we all men here, and we know, this is a very great test. One of the most effective means of spreading evil and corruption on earth by shaitan is through the medium of promiscuous women. Shaitan utilizes them as his snares and traps. In narration of Bukhari Sharif, it is mentioned, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلِ الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَىٰ. I haven't left behind me any fitna, any trial, which is more severe upon men after me than that of women. So sometimes after my demise, the greatest trial for men is the trial of women. This is such a trial in which many a mighty man loses his grip and falls prey to. Nevertheless, to safeguard us from such fitnas and trials, Sharia has commanded us to lower our gaze and exercise complete control over the usage of our gaze. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentions, some people assume that looking at some attractive face is nothing like glimpsing at some beautiful building. However, the matter is not the same. It is in fact vastly different. It comes in certain narration that Rasulullah said, مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى مَحَاسِنِ امْرَأَةٍ يُلْقَى الْآنُكُ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whosoever has cast an unlawful gaze upon the beauty of any woman, then molten lead will be poured into his eyes on the day of Qiyamah. Whosoever has cast an unlawful gaze upon the beauty of any woman, then molten lead will be poured into his eyes on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah Ta'ala save us. This is a poisonous arrow from shaitan. النَّظْرُ سَهْمٌ مِنْ سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسَ مَسْمُومٌ. This unlawful gaze is a poisonous arrow from amongst the arrows of shaitan. He who would discard it out of fear for me, Allah Ta'ala says, person does not make badnazri. He restrains himself. He lowers his gaze out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I will convert the spiritual effects of that action into such a state of iman that he would perceive the sweetness thereof in his heart. مَنْ تَرَكَهَا مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That person who does not make the bad nazri is tempted, he's got every opportunity. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lowers his gaze. He turns away. Allah says, I will give him such an iman, the sweetness of which he will taste. We talk about halawat iman, sweetness of iman. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of us with the sweetness of iman. He said, reflect on the words of the hadith mentioned above, wherein Allah Ta'ala grants an undertaking of attaining the sweetness of iman. Through what? Through the control of one's gaze. So brothers, if we want to taste the sweetness, we should have to strive and endure the pain of lowering our gaze and succumbing to our desires. Of the Kim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, so always say that you have every opportunity to cast that lustful glance, to make badnazri. Nobody is going to stop you. You have every chance. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you do not want to disobey your Allah. You want to have the strong bond with Allah Rabbul Izzat. You want to purify, have a pure heart. So you don't look. And the woman is extremely beautiful. So when you will turn your glance away, you will experience severe pain. Severe pain. Your heart will feel that pain. You'll feel that pain. But that pain that you are experiencing is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that pain you experience, then you get such enjoyment, such sukoon, such happiness, that you can't describe to any other person. So you will get that pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is serious, he wants to live a pure, chaste, clean life, he wants to attain this bond with Allah Rabbul Izzat, he wants to become a wali of Allah. And as we mentioned in the path of suluk, that this is a big obstacle, badnazri. So when you are serious and you are making an effort, challenges are great, you will definitely be tested. You will come through those conditions and circumstances where suddenly now you are invited again to cast a lustful glance. Shaitan is pulling you again, your nafs is pulling you again. You got to be very strong. Oh, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, you say, you got to have himmat, courage. You have to muster the courage. There's nothing else that can help you now. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl upon you. And how? You got to show you are brave. Hazrat should give the example. If you got Miss World, I don't know who's Miss World from where she is, but any case, she's standing there, and you got every opportunity to look at her. But you got another 10 people around you with the AK-47, and they say, you dare glance at her, and we will shoot you immediately. Will you ever look at her? You close your eyes tight, and you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching us all the time. When a person is serious, he makes an effort, he's moving in this direction. Yes, there be times he'll slip, immediately he'll come back onto line. In fact, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his kindness, you're going to cast a lustful glance. You're trying hard, you got a bit weak, and you thought, okay, today I'll just see one more time. Allah ta'ala makes some intizam for you, some arrangement in which you are protected, you are saved. And I want to give the example. A person has seen in the distance there's somebody very pretty coming. He didn't really look at her, he just saw some image or some figure coming. And now he thought, now he will cast a lustful glance. He's about to do that, and suddenly one big truck or a bus comes. Now he's swearing that bus driver to move quickly. By the time that bus driver then takes off, that woman is gone. Allah Ta'ala protected him. Allah Ta'ala saved him from casting lustful glance. Had he casted the lustful glance, what will happen? Eclipse of the nur in his heart. The glow from his face will go away. He won't enjoy his ibadah, he'll feel terrible. But when a person lowers his gaze, immediately Allah will give you halawat of iman, sweetness of iman. It's a feeling a person gets. And the benefits and the effects of halawat of iman is such, it is such that Allama Ibn Abidin Rahmatullah has mentioned, that when halawat iman, sweetness of iman enters the person's heart, then inshallah it is a sign the person will die with iman. Why? When Allah gives any person the sweetness of iman, Allah will never snatch it away. So inshallah the person will die with iman. Of course we have to be sincere, we have to still continue making an effort. It's a lifelong struggle. It's a lifelong struggle. So as the Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Thani Ramadhan mentioned, that people regard this sin to be so insignificant that after committing it time and again, then too, they do not perceive it to be wrong and persist in the doing thereof. Whereas the nature of many other sins, if it is done continually, then a person reaches a certain point in his life wherein he does not want to go any further. Many people, Allah protect us, they should drink. And after some time, something happened in their life, and they realize that now they can't live this life anymore, and they abstain from drinking. But they realize it was a sin. When we come to badnazri, casting lustful glances, we have become so habitual, accustomed to it, that we don't regard it to be a sin. Which day we sat and cried in the masjid and made tawbah, istighfar, Ya Allah, I cast a lustful glance at that woman. Ya Allah, you forgive me. Other gunas, mashallah, we make tawbah istighfar. But this guna is such that we treat so lightly. And because we are exposed to so much of badnazri, so we just become part and parcel of the society that's living with us. This sin, this badnazri, is a raging fire. It is such a vice, ulama have written, that it has no limits. One may remain shut therein for hours on end. And he'll continue committing this zina, this badnazri. And what happens after that? It leads a person to zina. Once someone inquired from Hazrat Abdus Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that despite making persistent efforts to abstain from badnazri, the eyes fail to succumb and they remain subdued. Common question. We all have this problem. Making effort to abstain from badnazri, sometimes the eyes just fail to succumb and it becomes subdued. When such a woman passes, the heart immediately begins taunting one in the following manner. And let us see what Hazrat says. This person asks this question. So he says that when this woman goes past, then the heart immediately begins taunting the person. What does the heart say? Cast a solitary gaze. Just one single gaze. Lest you may remain deprived thereof. What if she is indeed a very beautiful woman? Do cast a single gaze so that no regret remains in your heart. This creates a constant degree of restlessness in the heart. As I used to say, Bechen, person who is involved in this type of sin, always you'll find him Bechen. He's restless. He can't sleep at night, can't enjoy his meals. Oh, all the time, he's waiting for some type of way so he can give vent to this type of emotion that he has. Allah Ta'ala protect us. There's an incident of the Mother Sahib always gives the example of one person is going and he sees this woman in the distance. And now he becomes attracted to her. She's wearing her parda, but somehow he's attracted to her. And he was just actually planned to go on some other place. He began to follow her. And he thought now he needs to go closer and closer. Try and break the ice, make some conversation, begin to communicate with her. And then maybe become her friend, etc., etc. So he sees that she's gone on a bus, but that bus is going to Peshawar. He's going to Karachi. He said, never, whatever happens, I'm going to go. So he goes. But then again, she is seated away. He doesn't get the chance of sitting next to her. So all the time now his mind is thinking how he's going to meet with her. Finally she comes somewhere, she jumps off. So he also goes. So he sees some sugar cane, he runs, he buys some sugarcane sticks, he says, let me go and offer her this. And he runs to her and he says, please have this. And she looks at him and says, beta, she was an old lady, 80 saal ki buddhi, I don't have any teeth, I can't eat this hard sugarcane, please give to somebody else. Allah forbid, imagine sometime if we are looking at some woman, we don't know who it is, and happens to turn out to be one of our mahram women. It is such a bad sin. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali inquired from this person, he said, see, your nafs is taunting you. One gaze, was the she may be a very beautiful woman. Why are you depriving yourself, etc.? Hazrat asked him, for how long would such restlessness persist that you are not looking and your nafs is taunting you? For how long this will happen? The person responded, for a short duration only. For a little while, nafs will play with me and taunt me. Why are you not looking? Probably 3 or 4 minutes. After which the feeling subsides, once the woman has passed and moved on. Then Hazrat Rahmatullah, Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah asked him, that if he had actually seen the woman, and fulfilled his desire by looking at her, then for how long will the thoughts regarding her and her image remain in his heart, and be stored in his memory, for how long? So the first one, the question was, he didn't see her. His heart is restless. For how long? He said, for a very short while, 2 or 3 minutes. Hazrat asked him, alright, if you saw the woman, you enjoyed her beauty, now the picture is in your mind, for how long will this linger? He responded, at least 3 or 4 days. The person is trapped in those thoughts, if not more. Hazrat Rahmatullah then remarked, if one bears the pain of those few minutes in exchanging, in exchange of saving oneself from the misery of a few days. It is indeed a cheap bargain. Very easy trade-off. 2-3 minutes you make sabr. Okay, your nafs was taunted. You didn't give. You didn't succumb to your nafs, the desire of your nafs. But that is far better than being restless for 2, 3, 4 days. So Hazrat had mentioned also, as the Shaykh Zakir Rahmatullah had mentioned, that when a person who is in this path of spiritual reformation, then by making zikr, tilawat, etc., he begins to enjoy some ecstasy in his ibadat. However, as soon as they become unmindful and become trapped in the vice of badnazri, all the spiritual progress is instantly wiped away and it is lost. The mashayikh, therefore, they explain, they say, when we talk about nisbat, what is nisbat with ma'allah? Ta'aluk ma'allah, nisbat ma'allah. That if you make badnazri, then you won't get this nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. Which explains the nisbat. The mashayikh have written that nisbat is acquired after tremendous exertion and striving in the path of suluk. This word nisbat is a term used by the Sufyan-e-Kiram, which implies that a person acquires a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. You see, he's got nisbat with Allah Ta'ala, or we talk about he is a sahib-e-nisbat, which simply means he's the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Nisbat means connection with Allah Ta'ala. He's got a very special connection after making a lot of ibadat, after obeying Allah Ta'ala. So his heart is perpetually engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. It is always focused towards Allah Ta'ala. And he consciously remains in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala all the time. This is what is nisbat all about. So as the Thani Ramadullah explains, he says, there's a scene of woman of the village in India. She's full of water. They're going to the well to fill the containers with water. So they've got containers and they go to the well, they fill those containers with water. And as they proceed, either in pairs or groups, you'll find that they are perpetually remain focused on the task at hand, the full water, despite talking and engaging with one another. Those jars are big. They're heavy, those containers, those earthen jars. So they keep it on their head and they are walking. But whilst they've got that on their head, they don't lose focus of that. Their mind is still towards that. And at the same time, they're talking with their friends. Their gaze does not shift even for a single moment from the well and the containers. This sums up the essence of nisbat. It may be further understood by a person driving his vehicle whilst traveling with a group of passengers. As they continue their journey, and they engage in talking and other activities, maybe eating whilst moving, his attention never diverts from the road even for a moment. This engrossment and focus on the road, despite engaging with one's friends, captures the basis of what nisbat is all about. Because many times we will see that how are we going to still live in this world with our friends and different and people who engage in our responsibilities in this world and still attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's possible. Your focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst you're focused to Allah Rabbul Izzat, the other activities that you're doing, you'll be able to continue, but you don't lose focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person doesn't lose focus of the road and goes off the road. If that happens, we say that happened because of ghaflat. He became completely negligent of what he was, his aim was, what he was doing. That's why when a person is on a cell phone especially, and he's driving, then you see he's not driving straight, he's driving crooked. Sometimes he's driving. Watch any person standing with a cell phone, ourselves, you're talking with somebody, the person will never be standing one place, he'll be moving around. One place to another, especially if he's arguing with somebody over the phone. He'll be moving up and down, he'll be pacing the floor. So he's lost focus of what way he is. He's lost focus. So now if a person becomes oblivious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course, he's going to meet up with an accident. But if you've got that purpose in front of you, then whatever the activity, responsibility you have, your family, children, wife, you've got your business, your shop, etc., it won't affect you. So this is how a person will still have the nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. I think we just leave this last part for next week. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq, on Thursday we can finish this last part on Badnazri, which is very, very essential, very important. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to lower our gaze, protect our chastity, to protect our private parts, men and women. This zamana is such that we are exposed to so much of haram and so many attractions, especially in the December period, of young children, innocent minds. Poor children go onto the internet to play some game and immediately they are just swayed away from there. What happens? They are exposed to pornographic material and haram things. So many have led themselves into vice and evil. So many have, Allah save us, it led them to zina, begin chatting with women. Their lives become restless, they have no peace, they have no sukoon. Eventually they divorce their wives. There's only fire in the family, there's only problems and problems. The person's business also suffers. May Allah Ta'ala save us. Simple is let us lower gaze. Inshallah, we will see next week. I thought we finish it, but it's already past 8 o'clock. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. We need himmat, we need courage. All of us. No alim is safe from it. No mufti is safe. No sheikh is safe from it. No hafiz of Quran is safe from it. No person is safe. That doesn't mean now we must just be washed away in the flood water. Allah Ta'ala has given us the ilaj and remedies. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Who can be a greater mu'alij than Allah Ta'ala, a greater doctor than Allah Ta'ala? He knows the bimari, he's given his prescription. This is the dawa. Lower your gaze and you will see. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانه وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب